Now, a station that's giving you back the power to speak your mind. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
This week, we are... Janine!
My love, how are you?
I am good. How are you? How are you?
I am brilliant. I'm enjoying life. I mean, what an epic week for Trinidad and Tobago in terms of sporting activities. Guys, I went out to CPL, both matches, on Tuesday, Wednesday. And then last night was at the stadium for the football, and we won. And I was just so proud, so, so very proud of my country, red, white, and black. Listen, I've been in red, white, and black for the past 3 weeks. My goodness. I'm ready for another color. But after CPL this weekend, I will need a little pink or something, something else.
Somebody give Jin some nice pink, something nice.
So something orange, I don't know. Something blue, I don't know. It's been a lot of red, white, and black. Of course, we celebrated independence, and then, you know, all into the football as well. And yes. I do believe my friend Rodanfa, he was supposed to give me more information, but I do believe we have two more football matches this month, one on the 20th and one on the 28th of September, right here at the Hazley Crawford Stadium. And of course, when I get the information, I'll pass it on to you guys. But it was not supported like how CPL was supported.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Trinidad, we should come out and support our national treasures and national icons. And, you know, not only when it's a big match, a qualifying thing. Come on, come out and support. I did see some amazing people there. Shout out to Yuma. I saw a nice Yuma presence there, everybody in their tees. Shout out to the Ska Rhythm Section. I believe they were playing as well. It could do it about 4,000 more people,
you know, and
to be honest.
So here's the thing, right? So first and foremost, every single Friday from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m., you are tuned in to Miss Janine, Jin,
yes.
Peace, Love, and Cupcakes, the boss, and myself, Karen Rose, the digital world takes over Freedom 106.5 every single Friday. Now, that topic of football, I think people are just at the space where we would love to support a lot of things, but we need to, I feel like our sporting organizations were just all over the place. It's getting hard to the point where management is making things so frustrating that people are getting turned off to even want to come out. Like, we have a lot of things to fix.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we had a young team where, you know, it was promising and you can see that there's an effort being put into to put out a great football product, I think people would come out. But I think there's just a lot of politics that are turning people off of just the sporting in Trinidad and Tobago altogether. But that's a whole kettle of fish right there.
And I think, okay, I hear the point. But at some point, we're going to have to look beyond that, you know, because I think the players and the athletes, they do deserve the support. And it's just, you know, all around. It's a good look at the end of the day. It shows that the young people that are actually aiming to be a sports person out there, you know. It shows that, hey, here, the nation is going to come out and support me. Because right now, if I were a young person looking to be a footballer of any kind, and yesterday's match, watch anything, I say, they don't even come out to support us. Right?
Well, I mean, the big news of Kevin Molino retiring from football due to his grievances with the management and organization of TNT football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, speaks volumes. And again, this is what people are seeing. And this is what's making it harder for people to support when, again, the management is not concerned with putting the best product out there and doing the best.
Mm-hmm.
It's just politics and politics and more politics. And it's just frustrating everybody. It's frustrating the people on the pitch who are supposed to be doing their job and wanting to play.
Yeah.
But if the players themselves are at the point where they don't even want to play because they are frustrated with the politics happening in football, you know, then it's going to translate to the crowd as well. So there's a lot of things that we need to fix. I would definitely agree that, you know, regardless of what you want to support your country and support the people, because at the end of the day, they deserve that.
Yeah.
But we're at a crossroads. Something has to happen. Something has to happen, you know?
I agree.
Now, today, we were talking a little bit offline about, you know, your brand, putting some things in place for your brand. And one of the things that you were talking about was merchandise, right?
Yes.
And I wanted to highlight that specifically because Today's guest is one e-commerce consultant by the name of Kira Muhammad. And today's episode, when she comes in, we're going to be talking all about drop shipping. Now, Janine, have you ever heard of drop shipping?
No, Karen. What is that? I have absolutely no idea. It sounds like some sort of home delivery service. I don't know.
I thought you would never ask. So, drop shipping is something that as soon as you said merchandise, I was like, this is a very good topic because of you just talking about merchandise. So drop shipping, when you want to do merchandise, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to go and purchase your products. If you want to do shirts, hoodies, mugs, the traditional way of doing merch is you go out and buy the merch and you kind of bring it to a shop, a print shop, let them do it. Or maybe the print shop locally has some of the things you want on hand. So you kind of select which one you want and then you get it printed. But then you have to buy it, bring it home and store it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, what happens when you're in a one bedroom apartment is you and your dog, there's no more space.
Yeah.
Where you put all the merch, right?
Yeah.
Where you put all the merch.
Yeah.
So drop shipping actually solves that entire thing. So what drop shipping is, it is a form of logistics that you're able to work with a manufacturer. The manufacturer, so you, the brand, you, Janine, would be the ones who would market your products, and the drop shipping partner would usually be a factory, usually in China, that would take the orders that you send, right? So you get paid, somebody orders a mug. You make the request that this mug needs to be ordered. They would print the mug and then ship it directly to your client anywhere in the world.
Mm.
So you don't have to buy any of the products to rest down anywhere. You don't have to go anywhere to go and pick which items you want printed and then again buy it. And then you don't have to store anything. And then you're also not responsible for the logistics getting your products to the clientele.
Right.
Your drop shipping partner would ship it directly to the end consumer.
I love this. I want to hear more. I love this. This sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. So when I had my phone store in Curup Junction, right? I was what I was doing in the beginning was I was buying all of my products, mm-hmm. all of the tech. I was buying it, importing it, stocking the shelves. Now, because as a personality and as a workshop facilitator and content creator, because I started to do a wide variety of things, those things took me out of the store. So whilst my brand was growing and getting bigger, I was never physically in the store. But then when you have a store, you have overheads. You have the rent, you have electricity, you have your internet bills, you have all of your overheads, plus you have to bring in the products, pay customs, all that good stuff, right? So I decided to stop doing the store, and I ended up converting my website into an e-commerce website. So when people wanted to purchase any of the products that I was talking about, they would place the order. This is another big caveat. When somebody places the order, you get the money up front. Traditionally, when you are doing merch or you're selling a product, you have to go out of pocket because you have to go buy it.
Correct,
right?
Yeah.
So when I stopped the store and I had an e-commerce website, once an order comes in, I have already been paid.
Mm-hmm.
I already made my profit up front. I would then send a request to my vendor. They would then ship the product to the clientele. And I was able to close the store. So I never had to keep any products in hands. The products would go directly to the consumer. But you have already made your money up front without spending any money.
Perfect. I love it.
All right.
I can't wait to hear more.
Yeah. This conversation with Kira. Now, Kira has dove in deep on the world of dropshipping. There is so much to learn and a lot of exciting stuff. She ended up starting a business for women's shapewear. So her business in women's shapewear, that was a starting business that got her to learn everything about dropshipping. And she's still doing that and also helping other entrepreneurs around the Caribbean set up their drop shipping businesses as well.
Well, I can't wait.
So, yeah, there's a lot to talk about with that. So we're going to go take a quick break. pay some bills. We'll be back with more Digital World after this.
Now, a station that's giving you back the power to speak your mind. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
And we are back right here with the Digital World, right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. And we have in studio with us the e-commerce consultant herself, Miss Kira Muhammad. Kira, how are you doing today?
Karen Rose.
I am doing very good. Do me a favor, just talk into that mic for me. Pull it closer to you. Okay. There we go. Give me a nice. There we go. Now, you see, this topic is a topic that, I mean, me and you have spoken about for some years now. And the fact that you kind of, you know, gone deep into it is really good, man. It's really good. Yeah. So how has things been for you?
Continuing.
Generally, how have you been?
Okay, I've been well. I've been really good. I have to say this month has been very fruitful for me with a lot of contracts and a lot of traveling. And it's just been a fun time. I'm just enjoying every moment of it. So everything has been really well. Been going really well so far. And I'm really excited to share, of course, all of the information and all of the knowledge that I have on dropshipping with y'all today. I know it's a very buzzwordy topic. I definitely want to share as much as I can.
I think people have heard of the word and they have no idea what it entails or the work that it entails. It's been now, so when we were speaking, I told you that it was a hot topic.
Yes.
When I say hot topic, I see it when I'm looking at my analytics. Keyword dropshipping pops up in my data reports every single month for like the past 3-4 years.
Definitely.
Right? It's always there. People are actively looking for information. It's one of the top 10 questions I get every single month. The problem is that I myself don't dive in deep into dropshipping because I was doing, even when I had my store, I was doing a modified version of it, right?
Yes.
I wasn't going into Oberlo or AliExpress and building out any tools or any integrations with the Shopify or anything. I was doing I had suppliers. Mm-hmm. The orders would come into my platform. Once the order comes in, I just go make the order with myself and my supplier and have the products go get delivered to that person and call that George. But I know you have been diving in deep. So what I want to start things off with is just walk us through the starting point. How did you get in to dropshipping?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Okay. So I did music management before the pandemic, and as soon as the pandemic hit, of course, all entertainment stopped. And I had to basically pivot like everyone else into something that can work for me, that I can use my skills to, you know, make revenue during that time. So I dove deep into e-commerce and dropshipping because it seemed like something that I could naturally fall into at that point in time. I was very familiar with, you know, building websites and stuff for my clients, so it seemed natural to just kind of get into it. And I think I spent maybe a month and a half just diving deep into all types of e-commerce models, dropshipping included, and that's where I started my very first e-commerce business, which had a local presence, but of course it was a hybrid model similar to yours, where I have a local presence and I was marketing internationally. And had a dropshipping aspect or element to it where I was able to serve the international market with that dropshipping feature.
Right.
And also the local market with my e-commerce model.
Right.
So that's how I got into it. Of course, it has evolved.
Yeah.
Since, you know, doing that since 2019, we have a ton of options now for dropshipping and a ton of different ways that you can implement dropshipping just by being at home and simply just pressing a button and dispatching orders. So yeah, I'm excited to get into that because it really is a lot easier these days, but I want to highlight the easy and the difficult parts of it, the challenging parts of it, to anyone that might be interested.
So how did you first learn about dropshipping? Like, what was it that kind of piqued your interest with respects to dropshipping in particular? Because again, it's not something that, you know, people would just jump up and get right into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I have to say social media was the influence for that, because I saw a lot of people get rich overnight with dropshipping, and it made me very mad. I was so upset because I'm like, these people are at home, they're making hundreds of thousands of dollars dropshipping this one product.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so if it's that easy to just have a website and set up a supplier to ship my products to me, why can't I do that?
Right. You know?
So it made me mad, and that rage or that anger just got me into deep diving, into figuring out everything and doing my planning and just collecting and gathering information about it so that I'm ready, because that's how I always make business decisions. I want to make sure that I'm prepared.
Right.
So I was just preparing myself for the couple of months and doing all of the research involved, and that's how I decided to take action after that.
That, listen to me, drop shipping is one of those things where you're seeing so many people talk about it, right? You're seeing so many people talk about it. And, you know, we always think that in Trinidad, everything is kind of just out of reach.
Yes.
When you first started seeing it, you know, did you think it was something that was out of reach for us? Because usually when we do hear about all of these things that people are talking about internationally, there's always some caveat as to why we can't do it.
Yeah, definitely. I thought it was out of reach at first. After doing the research, I felt more comfortable. But then when I started to do it and actually do it, I think I was jaded because I didn't get the results, of course, you're seeing online. And that, of course, comes with managing your expectations if you're a beginner. So, I was jaded in the first month. I was like, why am I not getting the results? Why am I not getting some results that I'm looking for?
Right.
And then I realized I had to do a lot of other skill building. And that included, you know, my approach to marketing and digital marketing. And by doing that, I was able to test different techniques and try new things to actually get some type of results. And then from there, of course, using the data, using the analytics is where we created the strategy to increase revenue. So, yeah.
Janine!
Yeah, all right. So, my friend, what is drop shipping and how does it differ from traditional e-commerce models?
Yeah, I think we need to start that because, you know, people, again, tuning in might not know or might have ever heard of.
I didn't know what it was till just now.
So before you answered that, right before you came, we were talking about her brand and there were some things that she wants to do. And one of the things that she had mentioned was she wants to have her merchandise and whatnot. I was like, so glad you said that, because this is going to be a good conversation you want to listen to. Yeah. So yeah, what is dropshipping? What is it?
So dropshipping is an e-commerce business model. It's where you accept orders on your website, but the orders are fulfilled by a third party. So you don't have to stock any inventory and you only make a purchase or buy from the supplier when it's demanded by a customer. So that makes it have a very low barrier to entry. You can just set up a website and be able to accept orders and payments and be able to fulfill your orders without having inventory, without producing anything, without creating anything. The manufacturer or supplier or even dropshipping platform will fulfill all of that for you. Yeah,
that's what I liked about it. When he did full explanation, I love it. I want to know more about it. I feel like it's a great new advantage.
Yes.
So, you know, as you touch on, you know, what dropshipping is, like, what are some of the benefits of dropshipping versus traditional brick and mortar selling where you're buying the products? What is the benefits of dropshipping?
Right. Well, first things first, of course, it's global. You're not limited to one market. You can serve international markets as well, and you can have a presence and be present on market to other countries just by being at home, right? Implementing strategies to do so. Secondly, there's no physical inventory. You don't have to stock any goods at a warehouse. You don't have to buy any goods up front. You don't have to make any investment costs other than setting up your website and your dropshipping integration. And thirdly, I guess, the thing is the convenience, of course, because you can make money while you're asleep, right? You don't have to be awake for that. So yeah, it's very, very convenient. It's very low barrier to entry as well. Anybody can start a website and start dropshipping immediately. I would say you should have a registered business, but in some cases people just don't. They just start their website. But yeah, you definitely should have a registered business to do that. But yeah, the convenience of it and the fact that it's global, the fact that there's no upfront cost or investment costs, deep investment costs, I would say heavy investment costs, to purchase inventory makes it one of the easiest businesses to set up and cheapest.
That's what I like to hear. That's right up my alley. Okay, now, what are the most common challenges faced by dropshippers?
Yeah. Okay, so common challenges would be, of course, logistics. That is a main challenge of dropshipping because we, of course, live in different geographical zones where your supplier is located might be very far from where your customer is located.
Mm-hmm.
So having to now ship your product to that customer might take a number of days sometimes, especially if you're doing like from China to Trinidad. That takes a number of days, like 30 days if you're shipping via air. And that is one challenge that people face with dropshipping. Two, you can't dropship just any and any products. Like, it has to be a certain weight where it's profitable, a certain size where it's profitable. So that limits the amount of products or the type of products that you can dropship. It has to be able to travel these distances. So it must be, of course, small in size and must weigh, you know, appropriate amount for it to be delivered without seeping into your margins, right? So that's two challenges there. It's influenced, the logistics that is, it's influenced by a lot of economic factors or just even demand and supply sometimes can affect your dropshipping model, because if an item is out of stock for a certain period of time, you're unable to sell it to that customer. Sometimes packages get lost. Those are challenges that we face with dropshipping as well. So mainly it centers around logistics and lead times, as well as quality of the product as well, depending on where you're dropshipping from. Sometimes the quality of the product may fluctuate due to increases or decreases in supply and demand. And of course, you know, with that, with all of that, that comes with the constraints of having a dropshipping model that also affects your ability to earn and the margins that you collect on these products, depending on what the seasonal factor is, what the economic climate is, or even constraints in logistics. So those are challenges that you're presented with if you have a dropshipping model.
So this sounds like there's a lot of research that goes into the products. And I know on your platform, you talk about tons of ways for people to find the right products,
the
right suppliers to work with to get those products that factor in almost everything that you were saying. So talk to us about some of those strategies. Like, you know, there are people who, I mean, I think it's easier, and you can jump in and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's easier for people who might already have a brand, know what they're about. So if you're a personality like Janine, right? And Janine wants to get hoodies, t-shirts, maybe blazers, mugs, pens. I think those things are a lot easier to get done, and you already have a brand. Those things are tend to be a lot easier to turn out. But let's just say you're somebody where you don't necessarily have a brand. Maybe you work 9 to 5. You're looking for a side business to make some money. So a product is neither here nor there to you. You just want to make money. So talk to us about what are some of the strategies when it comes to finding the right products to go out and actually sell?
Okay, beautiful question. So finding the right products, of course, you have to do a lot of research into finding a criteria that works for you when it comes to your dropshipping model, because the product will, of course, affect the logistics of it and the packaging and all of that. So the way to find popular products or high earning products, I should say, is of course by using product research platforms. So I use platforms like Niche Scraper or ecomwave.io. Those are all product research platforms that allows you to see the data and the analytics of top selling products. Also shows you the data for top selling websites as well and what products do well on these websites. So collecting that information helps you find products. Niche Scraper, for example, in particular, shows you top trending products and products that do well. But of course, and they do it specifically for dropshipping, right? Mm-hmm. So you get to see what dropshipping products are doing well. But of course, the caveat that comes with that is that it must be able to give the customer the satisfaction, the solution that they're looking for. So I would say a good criteria for picking a dropshipping product would be, one, doing your research to see what niche you're looking to serve.
Mm-hmm.
as you mentioned, there are two types of people that can do dropshipping, and two types of ways that you can do it as well. You can do it as a branded commerce store and be dropshipping and have the dropshipping model, mm-hmm. or you can do it as a complete dropshipping website where you just focus on just selling that one or few products and that's it. You don't have any customer retention, or you don't have a brand associated with this product, but you're just looking to just sell a good product, right? So where it comes to people that are looking to turn profits on products in the short term, then these websites would show you what are those top selling products that you can turn over in, like, you know, a few days and make some money off of. They give you the suppliers as well. Some of them do the fulfillment for you. And when it comes to branded commerce, I would say it would be better to focus on the niche itself.
Right.
If you're dropshipping with a niche. And focusing on this niche means that you're finding a product that solves the problem for the niche audience. So doing that is a lot more in-depth, and you do have to find a lot more data to support your product's profitability. But in that way, you're able to build a brand around this product and be able to sell this product with the solution and have more things to market about the product, because now you have, you're building essentially a product brand but using a dropshipping model. So by doing that, you're able to speak on the features, you're able to touch on testimonials, you're able to touch on actual social proof that you can use and implement to create a brand around your product, which of course is my ideal recommendation. Right.
So Janine, let me use you as an example, right? Let me do some research for you, right? So Janine walks into Kira's office and she says, "Yo, I am looking to create some products for the Peace, Love, and Cupcakes Foundation." Janine, what type of products are you looking to build? What type of merch do you want to have in your store?
Well, for right now, it'd be some teas and maybe some snapbacks. Maybe, like you said, some mugs, some of those carry-along coolers. So you get some water in it. I don't know, fans are real popular these days as promo items. And those stress balls, things like that.
Okay, beautiful. So if you were to start your own website or your own business doing this, of course, I'd recommend it being branded. And a way you can do that with a dropshipping model is by utilizing dropshipping platforms like Printful or Printify, which is a merch platform that allows you to brand your teas, your mugs, anything paraphernalia. You can brand it for your brand and have it dropship to your clients as soon as you get the orders. So there are specific types of businesses that cater to people like you, essentially, that want to use merch to support their brand. And those businesses do utilize the dropshipping model. So it's, you know, pay on demand. So whenever you want it, you order it, and they ship it to your customer for you. All of the costs are involved there. And it's kind of a very easy process for you to implement and integrate with your website. So that, you know, whenever you feel like starting it, that's all you have to do. They have all of your information, all of your designs, all of your prints. That's what you have to load when you go onto the website and sign up. And from the time you order, they will give you all of the costs involved to print your t-shirts or your merch and ship it to your customer, and that's it.
Okay, I like that. I want to do it.
And listen, I just to kind of emphasize on how easy using the Printify, the Printful, the Teespring is. Once you have your designs, Janine, right? So all you got to do is, you essentially have two jobs. You have to, one, go out and get your designs, right? Once you have the designs, you go on their website, and you're going to create your store. Peace, Love, and Cupcakes, the store. And then you get to select all of the products. And I'm talking about, listen, there's tank tops, there's banners, there's mouse pads, there's table mat, there's thousands of types of products that you can style with your brand. Once you have the design, you pick what items you want to add in your store, and then you would design it, pick the colors, all that good stuff, right? Then you're able to, now they'll tell you how much that product costs. So let's just say if the product for the mouse pad is $10, you would then select your markup. So do you want it to be $12, and then you make $2, right? You want it to be $15, you get to select whatever your markup is going to be. Then your second job is to market all you got to do is market your store, drive traffic to your platform. So when you're out and about and people see you're tanked up, I'm like, oh my God, where did you get it? How can I buy it? You tell them to click on the link, go to your store. That person places the order on the website. The company, Printful, whoever you decided to use, they would then take the payments on your behalf and then create the product and then ship it directly to the customer. So you don't have to do any of the running around to go and find products, go and stock products. Sometimes, it's so difficult locally. I think we can probably touch on that too, Kira. Mm-hmm. Locally, listen to me. Because you have a lot of people that might not necessarily, want to do online, it's a hassle for you because you then have to go find a company that has the merch you want to sell. And a lot of these people that sell the merch don't do the printing.
Yeah.
So then you got to go and get the merch, bring it to a place to go get it printed, and then you have to collect the payments from the client, and then you have to go organize the logistics of getting the product to that person.
Yeah, that's correct.
And this is what drop shipping solves. It is a hassle that is being solved.
Mm-hmm. I love that. It's just so easy and efficient. It's really, really interesting.
Yeah.
I like it.
You can run your entire store from your laptop or your phone.
My favorite part is that, like, for me, if you want to change up a design or anything, you want to put this on the market instead this week and remove that one, and you don't have any bulk of orders, and they're going to be wasted, You could just organize yourself. So I really love it.
Yeah, so there's no wastage at all.
So how do you handle issues related to inventory management and drop shipping? How does that happen?
So because you don't have any physical inventory, your supplier, generally the one that supplies your product, so their inventory is what you would use. Sometimes they disclose if there's limited inventory that you can only sell a product for a certain period of time. Other than that, it would be up to you to do that due diligence on that research to ensure that your supplier is one, carrying this product and have been serving this product for a period of time, that they're able to, of course, continue to supply you in the future, and then be able to address your concerns if there's any returns or concerns with the product. So yeah, because you have to eliminate that part of owning and controlling the inventory, that all of that kind of rests with the supplier and their ability to serve you.
Okay.
We have a comment in from the chat, and I just had to read this out because it's hilarious, right? Gentlemen says, hello, Karen. He's like, as the program is going on, did you know that the first entrepreneur in cloud communication lived around 1592 BCE? He's like, yes, Moses is technically the first man to download files from the cloud using a tablet. Enjoying the program. I'm out Pythagoras of Germantown, Maryland. Yeah, okay, yeah, I agree. That is definitely the first person. Now, when we're talking about, some of the local challenges, if you're working with somebody that's local, right, and they want to do drop shipping locally, what are some of the things that people need to be aware of locally that somebody else that's not living in the Caribbean or not living in Trinidad wouldn't necessarily have to deal with? What are some of the unique challenges that we have to overcome locally?
Definitely one, the logistics and wait times. So that has been a problem if you're serving customers locally. Generally, if you're drop shipping out of the US, it's probably 1 to 2 weeks, depending on if you're shipping directly to your customer using a logistics or courier. Yeah, that's right. And then secondly, of course, it would be accepting payments is another challenge as well. So we utilize, of course, our usual WordPress, WePay, and we're able to accept TT currency as well as US currency using a payment gateway. However, some dropshipping platforms, if you were to use a dropshipping platform, only accept or have systems or infrastructure in place to accept U.S. businesses and U.S. payment gateways. So that's a challenge that you face if you're using a dropshipping platform. If, however, you're getting your products directly from a supplier, that's up your own website and payment processing. So some people get a lot of challenges with that too, because of course it entails having a registered business and the upfront cost of building your website, of integrating your payment platforms. I think those two are the main challenges you would face if you're dropshipping locally, just the logistics, how much time you have to wait. And
so that big one, let me add in something, right? Or let me ask you a question, right? I think one of the things you talked about there is the websites, because the websites, that has been something where I think a lot of people who are looking to get into dropshipping, they jump on Google and they type in what is the best platform to do dropshipping with. Mm-hmm. Typically what's going to come up is Shopify.
Yeah.
Shopify, people run down, they register, they sign up, they go in connected to whatever dropshipping partner they want to use. And then it's after they've spent money and they've spent time building it out, they realize, oh my God, how do I get paid?
Yeah.
Right? So when it comes to building a website with focusing on dropshipping, what are the platforms that you would recommend doing a dropshipping business with what platform?
Yeah, there are two platforms that I recommend. One is the Ecwid platform, which is an e-commerce platform specifically designed to sell e-commerce products. So you get a lot of the integrations in that platform that you would set up for an e-commerce store, which would be, of course, your analytics, your abandoned carts, tracking your data of your products sold, products looked at, stuff like that. So this platform, it essentially works like Shopify. Mm-hmm. And the payment gateway that they utilize is PayPal, but there are other payment integrations that if you have a registered business in Trinidad and Tobago, you can access, like two checkouts and stuff like that. So yeah, that is one of the recommendations I make for a complete e-commerce platform. If you're looking to build your e-commerce store from scratch, of course, my second recommendation would be using a WordPress and WooCommerce setup. So of course, the good thing about WordPress and having a WordPress website is that it's open source, so you're able to integrate all of the e-commerce functions that you would need for your e-commerce store into it, along with the payment gateways. WooCommerce lets you, of course, manage your content and your products, but having the payment integrations, of course, with WordPress, you are limited to something like WePay. There are other similar plugins that work, PayPal as well, PayPal Business, as well as 2Checkout as well. That allow you to set up your WordPress store with the payment functions that you need, as well as the e-commerce functions that you need. So those two are my most recommended for a dropshipping platform.
Mm-hmm.
One, of course, being slightly easier than the other and more beginner-friendly, which is the Ecwid platform.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No Shopify? No?
Not Shopify, no.
Why not?
Right. I will tell you why not. Mm-hmm. So I will not recommend setting up a Shopify website for a dropshipping store, because you have to have a registered U.S. business, right, to do so, right? Shopify and Shopify payments allow you to use integrations like Stripe, which you need to have a social security number or an EIN, and those only come with a registered U.S. business. So if you're not looking to pay taxes to the U.S. and you're not looking to sell in the U.S. or sell there, and you're looking to sell primarily here, then it would be in your best benefit to, of course, have your business here and kind of tailored to the local market.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Now, we hear a lot of how to get the products out, but what about when somebody wants to return it or somebody needs a refund? How does that happen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How does that go back and... Yeah.
Yeah. So it is the job, first of all, as the entrepreneur, to have a return policy in place on your website. That is standard for e-commerce business practice, right? So your return policy means that you assume the risk of returns and any charges or back charges that you would get when a customer returns an item. It is, of course, up to you to tailor that resolution how you would like. So in some instances, people would just refund the money, or they would, you know, send another item to the customer. But because, of course, the transaction is between you and the supplier. If there are any returns for your dropshipping product, you have to send it back to the supplier, essentially. Mm. And normally you would have to take on the costs of doing so. You want to, of course, make the experience as easy and frictionless as possible for the consumer. So having them return your dropshipping product to their China webs, to your China supplier, when you're the one who sold them it on your Trinidad website, right? It's definitely not a good practice, right? So, you usually have to make that clear in your return policy. What is the process and what compensation, whether it be in the form of money or product return, that you're going to give them?
What would you recommend?
I would definitely recommend just giving them back the money because like usually if you're buying a dropshipping product, right, you pay the cost price and then of course you make on the profit. So essentially for you to send them back an entire product, that would probably cost a lot more logistics wise because now you have to pay for the product as well as ship it to the customer. But when it comes to charges, right, you just return the money if they're unsatisfied, and then you're able to now resell them maybe another product or provide them with some incentives so that they come back to your store. I generally find that works better because they do feel like, you know, they've gotten value by being able to get back their money but still have a good experience with the store.
Yeah.
Right? So just, you know, for logistics purposes, it just makes a lot more sense to just return them the money and then be able to provide some incentive otherwise, whether that's in the form of a coupon or discount or something like that, rather than, you know, have them send back the product so that you can return it or you replace the product. And send them a new product.
Send back to China. That's kind of wild.
Yeah.
That's kinda
wild. For real.
But you know what? We're going to take a quick break. We have more to talk about with Kira Muhammad. We're talking drop shipping today. Again, this has been a hot topic. People want to make money. They want to make money whilst working their 9-to-5, mm-hmm. make money whilst they sleep, make money whilst they're punching in the clock for somebody else. People want to make additional money. So we have more as we come back on drop shipping with myself, Karen Rose, Janine, and Kira Muhammad.
Now, a station that's giving you back the power to speak your mind. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
Yo, listen, Janine, that's one of my favorite Rihanna songs ever, you know. I just be singing that song, "You Kill Me Dead," as Rihanna, you know. But anywho, we are back. And before we get right back into it, your solution to talk is here. The Charmaine Ford Show is on Freedom 106.5 FM, hosted by TNT's very own Charmaine Ford. It's innovative, informative, educational, and fun. It's not just talk, it's a whole lot more. It's all about making that connection with you. So join us on Sundays from 12 noon to 3 p.m. We are bringing the conversation to legendary celebrity guests, increasing awareness, and finding solutions on different topics and issues, all the while keeping it exciting. Call the Freedom 106.5 FM hotline and join the conversation, 627-3223 or 625-2257. Listen to the podcast on our website, tbcradionetwork.co.tt/Freedom106.5, or tune in for the live stream on the Freedom 106.5 FM Facebook page, The Charmaine Ford Show, Sundays from 12 noon to 3 p.m. on Freedom 106.5 for talk that matters. And we are back with e-commerce consultant Kira Muhammad. Kira, how you doing?
I'm good. Enjoying this segment. I'm enjoying sharing this information with you guys.
How many questions a day do you get asked about dropshipping?
At least twice a day I get asked about dropshipping.
It's a lot. It's a lot. I think it's going to start to pick up a whole lot more, mm-hmm. again, as people are trying to figure out how can they make money. And I asked you a question offline. Is $10,000 TT dollars, is that on the easier end to make when it comes to drop shipping? And you said,
definitely. Definitely on the easier end to make.
Janine, you could do with an extra $10,000?
Yeah, man. Sounds good. I definitely am. Well, I'm sold. I think it's a good product, and I think it's a relatively easy thing to use. Yeah.
Definitely.
So for me, I don't know. I wanna find out about this part though, because as a business owner, now how do you handle, or what are the potential legal issues in drop shipping, and how can they be mitigated?
Right. Okay. Legal issues, mm-hmm. of course, would be centered around the product. And so there are a lot of misconceptions. There are a lot of misconceptions about like what you can dropship. So people think that they can dropship knockoffs. And of course, that has so that's a great IP issue with it, right? Mm-hmm. So you'll definitely get sued if you try to sell any knockoffs to anybody on your website. So that is, of course, a no-no, but that's something we should already know. But also, any defaults or any issues with the product itself, if the dropshipper, the supplier, has granted you permission to use white label, private label this product, then all of the responsibility for this product and any legal issues attached to it would be resting on the supplier. So it's your responsibility, of course, to disclose that you are not the manufacturer or own the IP to this product on your website. You can have it in the privacy policy or anything like that to avoid any legal issues that come with any defects or you know, any potential risks that come with the product. So in the event that something happens, they would have to take up that issue with the supplier if they were to sue or anything like that.
I like that.
Kira,
covering the ends.
Let's jump into, you know, let's jump into shapewear, right? Mm-hmm. You decided to get started with women's shapewear. Now, what was it about that product that made you say this is probably the best thing to start off with?
Right. So at that point in time, shapewear was something that was kind of coming into popular, or I want to say mainstream, because of Skims and Kim Kardashian shapewear, right?
Mm-hmm.
So after doing my market research, of course, I realized that it was something that people were searching for. And because they, of course, seeing all of the marketing around Skims and popular products like that, there were other alternatives that were introduced to the market. Of course, this being a big problem solver for women who, you know, can't or won't opt for going to the gym or unable to go to the gym and stuff like that, or just want like a quick fix to their outfit or their look, shapewear has a great solution attached to it, right? So when I encountered that first, because of course finding the solution and making sure that the solution can help the customer was my first priority, finding shapewear and then having the data to support it being something that is searched for, and then just the hits, the views, the marketing surrounding it, and because it was something that was trending at that point in time, it seemed like a good opportunity to, of course, introduce to the market here locally and internationally with an alternative that can provide the same solution but is not a Skims brand. Of course, it's my own brand, mm-hmm. and that kind of birthed Shape Me Please. At that point in time, because we were all quarantined, I had no idea that it would be so explosive, honestly. So that came as a bit of a shock to me, because although we weren't able to go out, a lot of people, because it was so popular, wanted shapewear and mm-hmm. wanted waist trainers and stuff like that, and became really explosive. I think that year itself, they recorded a huge growth in shapewear, and I just kept my Google alerts, of course, to let me know what came out and what are the products that are trending in that niche. And because it's something in beauty as well, which is a very popular niche, it proved to be a very good product to sell. So I found, thankfully, success with that, my first dropshipping product. I am, of course, going into other products, and I do reveal on my social media, on my TikToks, how exactly you can go about doing the same product research and market research to ensure that you find a profitable product. But yeah, that's essentially how I got into it, because it was something I was looking at because of the trends,
yeah,
and not because, you know, I just decided I was going to sell shapewear.
Yeah. How long did it take for you to really start to see a profit when you got started?
It was instantly, actually.
No, but that's
not what I started.
Yeah, so this is a story I share with all of you people that are asking me about dropshipping, right? So what happened was that I had no inventory. So I was just about to set up my store, my website. I didn't even have a website yet.
Yeah.
What I did, I pulled the product photos from my supplier that I found on Alibaba. And that's why I always recommend Alibaba for good products. But yeah, I found my supplier on Alibaba. I pulled the photos and I put it on Facebook Marketplace just to test the product, just to see how well it would do in the local market. And I got so many hits from it that I realized, okay, I need to have this demand, right? I didn't have the products as yet. So what I did was I offered the customers that were interested, I offered them an incentive where if they waited the 30 days, because like I told you, it's a long wait time if you're shipping from China, right? If they waited the 30 days, I'll give them a second one free, right? And they, of course, agreed to that because, again, 2-for-1. In some instances, I gave them like a separate product to test other products as well with it to see if it's going to do well. And yeah, and using that Facebook Marketplace model is how I funded my website. And once I was able to now have my website, I built out my pages of sort of drive traffic. And of course, with the knowledge and the skills I was building in digital marketing, I was able to make that setup close enough to convert how I wanted it to. Of course, with the testing and all of the data to support which products were doing well, I kind of limited my offering to the few products that performed very well and just kept those products and sold those products for a while. And that is kind of how I got some success from being able to now cater to this market and find all of the solutions that come with serving this niche and find all of the data points attached to it, find what products do well, what my customers resonate with, what my customer looks like, and all of that information I received from testing that one product. And that was during the pandemic.
That is so awesome. I'm over here like, wow, I didn't know about the alerts and the what was trending. Had I known. So how do you determine the pricing strategies, though, for those said products?
Right. So pricing strategy for that, of course, it varies across country, because if you're drop shipping to Trinidad, right, they would have different logistics costs for Trinidad versus the U.S. So what you have to consider is the cost of your goods landed. So it would be, of course, including the cost to purchase the item from the supplier, shipping the item to here, and then packaging the item. All of that is included in your cost of goods. Once you determine that, then you decide how much margin you want to make on your product. So what I did initially was that I did a lot of competitor analysis and research into the price points that other competitors were selling at. And of course, I wanted to compete, but still be able to offer a high value item. This having a solution that is, I guess, arbitrary, as in, you know, it's not directly a brand, but it is a solution that can help somebody with a particular problem that they had. So pricing that is usually very difficult, but using the data and, of course, seeing where competitors were selling at and achieving success, that's kind of how I interpreted all of that information to create a price point that is, of course, fair to my customer, but offers the value, the exchange value. So whatever they pay for it, the received value that they're looking for from that price point. It is important, however, to have a good price point with a dropshipping business, because you want to capitalize on the average order value, of course, but you want to make it that it's lucrative enough so that it maintains your website, it maintains your marketing and stuff like that. So including all of those costs per product and considering all of the costs for logistics, that is kind of how you determine your price point.
Okay.
Let's talk competition, because what's going to happen is people are going to be listening and say, Shapewear is where it's at. Shapewear is making money. Well, now Self, we're going to go and just open up websites and take out shapewear products, right?
Yeah.
When it comes to competition, this is we're in the digital world. It's never been this easy to set up a website and to start selling products. And even when you go on places like an Amazon, a marketplace like that, you could type in shapewear as an example and see shapewear from all sorts of different manufacturers and whatnot. How do you deal with competition when you are selling a product?
Yeah, two things are very important when dealing with competition. One is to have your unique selling point and creating high value offers. Those are like the core of having a good business when there's a lot of competition involved. So shapewear now definitely has a lot more competition. So you have to up what you're providing to your customer in terms of value. So by combining discounts, products, being able to create an offer essentially that the average user, the person that is buying from you, can't refuse, is how you would stand out. And then creating a USP that is different from your competition is still how you can get people interested in what you have to offer. So I always advise, even though it's up niches where there are a lot of players, the only way to stand out is, of course, by establishing your brand and having that USP attached to your brand, and then using the offers on your website to now make this offer so it's irresistible that Putin's can't afford to say no, right? So yeah, that is essentially how I choose to stand out from other competition. I must disclose, though, I've since then sold my business. But of course the initial framework and structure is what I talk about and what I teach, because it worked in the sense that I created high value offers that people loved because they perceived the value that they were receiving to match the price that they were paying for it.
Right. Yeah. Janine, before you jump in, I just have to ask a question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did I lose my train of thought? I got it back. So branding, right? Now, if somebody is a brand and they're creating products to kind of support their brand, that's one thing. But if somebody who is now setting up a dropshipping business, when they hear, you know, building a brand, a lot of people think that building a brand means I need to put my face out there, I need to be, you know, on social media talking about these things. How does somebody build a brand when they're just trying to sell a product but not necessarily want to be like the face of a brand? How does that work in the dropshipping world?
So in dropshipping, things that you really want to stress on when you're including in your marketing is, of course, the benefits of using the product that is, and creating content around the product. So you would implement some sort of content marketing strategy with it, to talk about this product, demonstrate the benefits of it, demonstrate the features and how it helps or affects the consumer. Showing social proof as well, that is kind of how you create content around that brand. Having user generated content is very, very helpful for a dropshipping brand, because once people can see the item in use and people are enjoying the benefits of it, that will influence them to buy. And of course, creating just content around the solution and how it affects the consumer in that essence is how you can create a faceless brand and not having to put your face out there, not having to include any aspect of who you are and why you sell it. I did that initially in the beginning. I never showed my face at mm-hmm. all. I only created content and user-generated content, and those would be very much focused on the product itself and how it can solve a problem. So that is essentially how you can create a faceless brand.
Mm. Nice. And my final question for you, what are some of the most common misconceptions about dropshipping?
That it is easy. That is the most common misconception. It is definitely not easy. It requires a little bit of analytical skill when it comes to segregating and segmenting your customer, your audience, your analytics, and understanding your customer and how they behave. That's one. Then a key part of dropshipping that people fail to realize is that, especially if you're marketing to an international audience, is that you have to learn how to do advertising and online advertising. People go straight over that. That requires a bit of technical skill, and you have to know what you're doing in order to effectively use ads to influence people to buy. So taking a course in Facebook ad marketing and Instagram ad marketing were like the best decisions that I made, because it helped me understand the platform and how to use it to my advantage. So there are many different techniques you can use for dropshipping. I found a lot of success in using the retargeting model for customer conversion, because all of this jargon, of course, is something that you would know once doing the course, but yeah, you definitely need to know how to market digitally to run a dropshipping store. If you don't, then you're going to set up yourself to fail.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and again, I like everything that you said, because it's a lot easier for people who have built a brand, have a name, they're already trusted, so pretty much anything that you kind of come up with, people are going to buy from you, because you already have a presence, you already have a brand. If you are somebody who, you do not have a brand, you're looking to do drop shipping
from the point of view of you have a 9-to-5, you're looking to make some side income, you definitely need to, there are some skills that you need to learn in order to make this work, because nobody knows who you are. Mm-hmm. And you're nobody to the market. So there are skills that you have to learn. So my final question to you is circling back to something you said earlier, where you had to learn a wide variety of skills before you got started in dropshipping. What are some of the skills you would recommend people to learn if they want to be successful in dropshipping?
I would recommend one, learning either how to maintain or set up your website if you're choosing to do WordPress or using the Acquit platform. Mm-hmm. Just understanding the platform thoroughly helps give you an advantage as to what features and what integrations, what functions you can make it do for you. So that is crucial. Secondly, I would recommend learning all of the Google platforms, because those are actually free tools that you can utilize to get the data that you want. So using tools like Google Market Finder, what's a big thing, Google Trends, you know, Google Analytics, Google My Business, stuff like that. Just learning the Google platform on the whole is very beneficial to setting up your website, because you can start to collect information just having these platforms integrated. Also, digital marketing, email marketing, digital marketing, including Google Ads, including Facebook ads, including Instagram ads. Unfortunately, we don't have Pinterest ads or TikTok ads available to our region, but I'm hoping that it's something that we can capitalize on in the future. But yeah, just using the platforms that you have, being able to master the platforms that you have available is definitely important. Email marketing is definitely a skill you want to learn as well with a dropshipping store, a branded dropshipping store. Because customer retention is one of your main focus when you have a store and you want to keep customers for the long run, right? You want to be able to tap into that lifetime value of the customer. So being able to do that, you can connect with them either via SMS marketing or email marketing. So having that skill and being able to properly craft emails that resonates with your audience and influences or persuades them to buy is a skill in itself and something you should definitely utilize in your dropshipping journey. And of course, just learning how to read and interpret and understand your analytics is a key skill as well, because it can help you detect, you know, certain spikes in consumer behavior, consumer activity. So understanding your consumer to that level of where you can predict how they're going to act on your website, that mm-hmm. is a skill you should definitely learn if you have a dropshipping business.
That is what we talking about.
Yes, my love. Well, we want to thank you so much for passing through and for enlightening all of us here about dropshipping. I know half of us are like, what? So, you know, where can we find you? Where can we reach you? I know you said you sold the business, but how can we reach you? How can we learn more about dropshipping?
Yeah, so right now I share a lot of information on my website and my social media. So my website is www.kiramohammed.com. You can also find me on TikTok sharing just a lot of information about e-commerce. I practically give away all my secrets. So you can find me on TikTok. It's Kira Mohammed, Kira.Mohammed. Also available on Instagram, LinkedIn, stuff like that. But I do share a lot of information on TikTok. So yeah, that's one way to find me. And if you want to ever employ me for any services, I offer that too, because that is now what I do since transitioning from a dropshipping and e-commerce business owner. I now, you know, run, I do one freelancing, but I also do consulting for agencies as well.
Do you build out all the assets for it?
I build out e-commerce websites fully, so all of the automations, functions, integrations and stuff like that I can walk you through. So that's one of the services that I offer as well, and product consulting, product research and product planning.
Yo, when I say Kira needs to be your best friend, people run me down to build out e-commerce, and I'm like, man, listen, I like to do it for myself. When it comes to building it for people, you can't pay me enough money mm-hmm. to want to sit down, because it's work.
It's work.
It's a lot of work. But you know what? When you learn how to do it, it is extremely exciting, because the sky is the limit with the types of things that you can do. But yeah, no, anybody that asks me to build out your e-commerce platforms, I run. Go and find Kira Mohammed. She will go and build it out for you. And listen, and she is dope. I've seen Kira build out her stuff for years at this point now.
Yes.
At this point, it's years. Yeah, from 2019. Mm-hmm. At this point, it's years. She is good people. So again, Really congrats on your success. And again, seeing what you have been doing, from where you have come, from what you're doing now, it's definitely been a lot. And we look forward to seeing more of it, you know?
Thank you.
And make sure you go follow her on TikTok, because again, what people don't realize is that people like Akira, people like myself, we give away the game free every single post.
Mm-hmm.
Every single post. And then people take for granted all the free information, and then they pay you to come and say the exact same thing in a one-on-one session.
Yep.
When you have all of the information there on. So go check it out, right? If you do need her to build it, she will definitely go and build it for you. And yeah, learn more about dropshipping. It is something that I think everybody really should need to know. If you are a brand, dropshipping your products is something that you want to add to your brand. You already have the presence. You already have an audience. Your audience is willing to buy almost anything that you say, hey, I have this in the store now. They will go and support, right? And that's a lot easier. That's additional money that you can start to generate. If you are somebody just looking to make additional money, go and learn the skills of dropshipping. You will be very happy. All right, so go check out Kira. We have more Digital World after this. We're going to go cut to commercials. You already know we have to pay some bills, but stick around. There's more Digital World with Janine and myself, Karen Rose, after this.
Now, a station that's giving you back the power to speak your mind. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
And we are back right here on the Digital World with Janine and myself, Karen Rose. Janine, how is your weekend looking?
It's great. It's going to be fun, filled with a lot of activity. Of course, there's CPL this weekend as well, so I'll be there on Saturday and Sunday.
Now, you've gone to some of the CPL matches already, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you were in the stands, now, I don't know if you were able to witness or if you made some purchases, but when people are going around selling drinks and selling food, how are the transactions happening? Is it in cash? How are those transactions happening?
Well, depends on the stand, because I believe Trini Pussy stand is all inclusive, so you pay for, you know, your drinks and everything up front with your ticket. And to say people coming around selling, I mean, just the nuts vendors. Other than that, you know, you have to kind of go to the bars and stuff, and downstairs everything is in cash. I didn't really notice any cash or any links or anything like
that. The reason I ask was because 2019, and I was really hoping that they would start to bring this back out, but 2019, We Pay and Republic Bank and the CPL organizers, what they did was they organized NFC wristbands, and you were able to now use We Pay to top up your wristband with money. So rather than using cash to pay for anything, when people were coming around selling you whatever, you would literally tap your wristband to make payments to order anything that you wanted to order, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't brought that back out. And I keep on thinking to myself, it worked so well in 2019. Why aren't we bringing these things back to, again, just bring out more technology into these things and create a nice customer experience? Because I know there's people that don't always want to be able to have to you or walk with their wallet. They might just leave their wallet in their car or whatever. But you could only do that if you know there's something like the Republic Bank We Pay wristbands, where you could load up your wristband with all of your money and then just tap your wristband to make payments. That was really what I was asking. But how has the matches been for you so far?
It's been very exciting, man. I mean, we lost one, but we won one. So it's great news. And I can't wait to see what happens tomorrow.
Who are they playing tomorrow?
I think we're playing the Talawas. I think so.
Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
Because we played the Royals already and we played the Warriors already. So I believe we have to play the Talawas now.
That'll be a vibe. As we mentioned the Talawas, from next week, I will be amongst the Talawas.
Mm-hmm.
I will be in Yard. I'll be in Jamaica. What do you need from Jamaica, Janine?
Nothing. I don't need anything. I'm quite good.
Listen, we got to bring you back. You drink Appleton? You drink Rare Nephew? What you just drink?
Mm-mm, I don't want any of that. Good. I just a humble chick. I out here. So whatever, you could bring back a grain of sand, I'll be happy.
That is what we're talking about.
A mini Jamaican flag, I'll be happy. Keychain and thing. My God.
That is what we're talking about.
Well, you know, every single Friday from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m., we are inside the digital world. Mm-hmm. So I think with the rest of the time, Janine, just a quick question for you.
What was that? Which is the question?
Oh, what I was going to say is that what will you, or, well, I know you're going to be doing CPL for the rest of the weekend, but what I think we'll do is we're going to go take a quick break and we'll come back to wrap up and we'll be bringing on Davey when we come back.
Mm-hmm, what Davey say at you? Three.
Davey at three. All right. Give me one quick second and we'll be right back.
In the air. Six.
Introducing
more.
The Inside Edge, a brand new cricket show about to swing your way.
It's gone!
Guardian Media Limited's Jesse Marique and former TNT cricketer Andrew Lawrence turn their arms over at some of the biggest names in the sport and take on the biggest topics of the day.
With the win for six.
Inside Edge airs
every Monday night from 8:30 p.m.
on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Catch the Inside Edge.
Stumped. Wicket.
Bunchy and fear, you lion. Hard like steel, and all y'all. Yeah, yeah.
And we are back. Now, as we wrap up, Janine, let the world know where they can find you at.
All right. For right now, you could find me at JYNNYN on Instagram, my friends. And, of course, I'll be right back here on Monday from 9 to noon on my sister station, Slam 100.5. And I'll be back here next Friday while Karen is in Jamaica. I'll be right here. On Freedom 106.5 on the digital world.
Lovely. Glad that you're going to be holding it down for me. Mm-hmm. So you can, if you want to learn more about building a digital presence and monetizing your platform, check me out on all platforms, Keron Rose, KERONROSE. You can also listen to the Digipreneur FM podcast on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all your podcasting platforms. And that is it for this week on the digital world. I will not be here next week. I will be vacationing, doing nothing, soaking up the sun and eating as much jerk as I possibly can. Janine's going to be holding it down for next week. So I'll catch you, you know, the following week after that.
Yeah.
So anyways, peace out. Janine.
All right, guys. Peace, love, and cupcakes. Bye.
Now, a station that's giving you back the power to speak your mind. The all-new talk radio, Freedom 106.5.